Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Steny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to the book of Psalm 85 and verse number 6, where the Bible said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And we're looking at the revival that we need in America and around the world today. I pointed out to you three things that I wanted us to look at. But first of all, we're going to look at the need of revival. Number two, we look at the nature of revival, the kind of revival that we need. And thirdly, we look at the necessity for revival. And I said to you, the need of revival is manifested in our culture, it's manifest in our churches, and it's manifest in our country. Let me point out one more time, the psalmist, in writing this psalm, makes a plea, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Then notice the people, us, the people of God. And then he said, the purpose is that thy people may rejoice in thee. So revival is a time of restoring the joy and renewing the blessings of God in the life of God's people. Then, of course, when that happens, they will do evangelistic work and sinners will be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I pointed out to you, the need of revival is manifest in our culture. And we've been looking at this for the last couple of broadcasts, and I want to continue on as the Holy Spirit directs us today. Let me say to you again, the need of revival is manifest in the continual increase of the usage of drugs. And I said to you, the drug culture cries out, we need revival. You could almost call it epidemic stages in a lot of places where drugs have so invaded the younger generation and now has them addicted and hooked on the different types of drugs that are there. And as far as most of them are concerned, they are hopeless and helpless within themselves to deliver themselves from that bondage of sin. I said to you on the broadcast yesterday that legislation would not free them. Then I said to you that education would not free them. And then I said to you that recreation would not free them. And I said to you that the only hope of them being set free from the drug culture is regeneration that comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God saves a sinner, he'll take him off of dope and put him on hope. But then I mention to you number two, not only does the continual increase of the usage of drugs cry out, we need a revival, but the continual increase in drinking also cries out, we need revival. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there are many who feel like they do not have a drinking problem. They drink, but they feel like they can handle it. And their thoughts are, I would never become a drunk. But I want to say to you, a social drinker is as much kin to a drunk as a baby kitten is a cat, or a baby pig is to a hog. All you've got to do is let it grow, and it will become a hog or a cat. And all you've got to do is just go ahead with your social drinking, let it grow, and before you know it, you'll become a drunk. And so the continual usage of drinking and the common acceptance of it is evidence that we need revival in our churches. I pointed out to you yesterday, for those who would say, well, preacher, I don't see anything wrong with drinking. Well, you need your eyes examined or something taught you from the principles of the Word of God. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, speaking of fermented wine, our Lord said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 23 and verses 29 through verse number 35, listen as Solomon describes the condition of the drunk. Verse number 29, the Bible said, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? And then he answers that in verse number 30. They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go and seek mixed wine. So from those two verses of scripture we learn that drinking produces woe. Drinking produces sorrow. Drinking produces contention. Drinking produces babbling. And drinking produces wounds without a cause. And drinking produces redness of eyes. So there are some six things that are mentioned in verse number 29 that are the results of a person drinking. Notice again what the Bible says in verse number 31. The Bible said, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth color to the cup, when it moveth itself aright. And of course, he simply speaks of the fact of when it is fermented. Notice in verse number 32 the effects of drinking. The Bible said, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Anything that's going to hurt me like that, then I want to have enough sense to stay away from it and keep it out of my life. Listen to verse number 33. Here's another effect of drinking. The Bible said, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Again, I'm just reading out of the Bible, Proverbs 23, what the Bible teaches will happen to a person when they become inflamed with drunkenness. Notice again, the Bible said in verse number 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I failed it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Oh, my friend, can you imagine there in the book of Proverbs, written several hundred years ago, was a description of how strong drink affects the person that drinks, and it's not changed. It's still that bad. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 9. And here we see the first time that we have recorded in the Bible that a man was drunk. Now, we learn from the words of our Lord that in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that the flood came. And so they were drinking before this occasion. But as far as I know, this is the first reported incident in the Bible of someone being drunk. Let's read it and see the results of it in Genesis chapter number 9. Verses number 20 and following. The Bible said, and Noah began to be an husbandman. and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of that wine, and was drunken. Notice what the Bible said. And he was uncovered within his tent. So we see, first of all, that he undresses himself as a result of being drunk on strong drink. Now notice what happens. You see, it not only affects the father, but now then the son gets involved. The Bible said, in Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brethren without. So now then one of the boys by the name of Ham has seen the nakedness of Noah simply because Noah got drunk and exposed himself there inside his tent. You say, well, that happens in my own house. It doesn't affect anybody. Well, it affected somebody here. Let's read on. The Bible said in verse number 23, and Shem and Japheth, that's the two other sons of Noah, the Bible said they took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now look at verse 24. The Bible said, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now that's all the Bible says about the incident. It says he saw him, but in this verse it says he done something unto him. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. So it involves the children. It involves the families. I remember used to have a man that said to me, Brother Blue, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. And I said to him, go over to the school after you come home drunk at night and ask the school teacher if it affects your children. Look at the community life they have. See if it affects them. And then I said, go over to the jail and visit your son over there that's coming down the same road you're coming and see if it affects him. I want to say to you, dear friend, drinking does not just affect you. It will affect your companion, and it does affect your children. But notice verse number 25. After Noah awoke and saw what his younger son had done unto him, the Bible said, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. Listen to me, dear friend. The strong drink is not only a mocker, but it is an enslaver. It will bring judgment and curse upon you and upon your families. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Once again, it's anniversary month here at the Harvest Time broadcast. We began broadcasting on the first Monday in November of 2002. The Lord's allowed us to finish 6 years, and we're now broadcast over 80 times a day. I do want to thank you that's prayed for us and stood by us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. I remind you that without you, we would not be able to do the job that we're doing. Let me encourage you on this anniversary month that you take time out, write to us, and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.